and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and today on the Social Media News Podcast, we are talking about a variety of stories. It's a little difficult for me to put my finger on the pulse of these stories. I would say it's a mix. We have some classic social media news because we're talking about Cardi B. And I feel like if it's not Kanye, it's probably Cardi B that we're going to be talking about. Or I should say, if it's not the Wests of Kanye and Kim, it is Cardi B. So we are talking about her, some classics. And then we're also going to be talking about some Super Bowl related news. So if you want to get a good mix of the very current Super Bowl related things, and then also just some good celebrity social media news, because if we can't rely on Cardi B for anything, we can definitely rely on Twitter-related content. At least that's what I found when I look into things that go on Twitter. But before we get into that, I want to start off with a feel-good story. And this is about a young boy who called 911, but not for the emergency you might normally think. This was not a house burning down, car crash, or like, I don't know, terrible disease or something like that. It's something that you and I may not see as life-threatening, but this little boy definitely did. So there is a 911 dispatcher out there who got a call, and after her call, she is really being applauded for her patience and compassion on the job, because in Lafayette, Indiana, she received a call from a young boy, and this occurred on January 14th, and the call operator is Antonia Bundy, and the little boy's emergency was a bad day at school. So again, maybe not a terrible, I don't know, life-threatening emergency that we may all consider calling 911 for, but when this little boy had a bad day, he thought, you know, I should probably call someone for help, which is so innocent and so pure. Like, of course, 911 is there to help you when there's an emergency or when something bad happens. So obviously, if you have a bad day, you should just call them. So this 911 dispatcher was really kind, and she answered the call. And I guess rather than lecture the little boy about, you know, tying up phone lines and things like that, she decided to find out why he was upset, and then she also offered some advice to him. And it turns out that this little boy was struggling with his math homework, and he couldn't solve a question involving fractions, which, I mean, you know, fractions, very difficult. And this operator, Antonia Bundy, she guided him through all the math problems until he got the right answer, which is adorable. And the little boy showed gratitude and he apologized for calling. And apparently the dispatcher just replied that we're always here to help, which is so sweet. Like, I could totally understand. I mean, I'm not advocating that you just call 911 willy-nilly, because it's important. You don't want to have to tie up the line. If there's a real emergency and you don't want to like block someone else's call, you know, if there's like a fire or a robbery or something like that. But it is really sweet that this dispatcher got to help him out. And this little boy, he obviously was sorry, you know. And so the Lafayette, Indiana police, they put on Twitter, they wrote about the story, and they said, "Our dispatchers never know what the next call might be. They train for many emergency situations. Homework help is not one they plan for. We don't recommend 911 for homework help, but this dispatcher helped a young boy out and brightened his day." Which is true. I mean, clearly he needed some assistance, and they were right there to help him out. So, good job. That's a heartwarming story. I was really, that like brightened my day when I read it. So, I hope that that can bring a smile to your face. Okay, now the wonderful story that I have talked about, and I know that it's very tantalizing. This is about Cardi B. And it's about her and also her former high school teacher. And Cardi B, she has already spent a lot of 2019 in the spotlight. She has been advocating for federal employees during the government shutdown. She has been fighting back against critiques of her music videos. Obviously, people are still talking about her divorce from Offset. It has really, 2019 has been a year of Cardi B speaking out about many things, and she's, I feel like since she came on the scene and her music got really big, she's always kind of been in the media, particularly social media, and she's very active on Twitter. She has a lot of like Twitter, I don't know if it's Twitter or Instagram, but it's like live videos. Just she's very active out there, and I think because of that she gets a lot of backlash easier than someone who maybe kept a little more away from the spotlight. But that's okay. Cardi B, she does whatever she does, and it seems to be working. So there have been a lot of people who have been celebrating all of this outspokenness, but there are others who were kind of just like coming after her. Some of them are the disgruntled employees at Fox News. For example, Cardi B tweeted, "Leave me alone, I will dog walk you." And then Tommy Lauren replied, or I don't know if it's a reply, I guess it's a retweeted. She said, "Looks like I am Cardi B," or that's Cardi B on Twitter, "is the latest genius political mind to endorse the Democrats. Ha, keep it up, guys." And then did hashtag MAGA2020 or Make America Great Again 2020. So clearly Cardi B is having some people kind of fighting back against her for what she has to say and for her opinions and just really for kind of anything that she says on social media, which is unfortunate. However, despite all of the slander, there is one person out there on social media who is definitely not going to take it. And that is Cardi B's old high school teacher, Joan Hill. Not Jonah Hill, but Ms. Joan Hill, who is Cardi B's teacher. And she went on Facebook and she said, "For those of you on my feed who are trashing Cardi B for representing a political voice, A, she probably scored higher than you on the U.S. History Regents exam and was in my AP government class. B, you're not nearly as busy as her, and what have you done to advance political discourse in this country? C, she has a national platform and is using it to speak about things that are important. Why can't we respect her?" And then D, STFU and take a seat, which if you know what that stands for, then you know. Otherwise, I'm not about to inform you on this podcast what that stands for. So that is, again, Cardi B's former history teacher, and she's just going after the haters. She's not going to take it if anyone's going after Cardi B, which, I mean, good for her, way to stand up. And the Facebook post has gone viral. Ms. Hill revealed that Cardi was a brilliant student. She apparently aced her state exams and was in AP classes. And she really just, you know, had some choice words for all the people who were going against Cardi B, like the STFU. And also, Cardi B has spoken fondly about her time with Ms. Hill in interviews. She told CBS News once, she said, "I know that she's strict, but every single day until this day of my life, Ms. Hill was always in my head." So clearly, Ms. Hill had a really big impact on Cardi B's life, and that's always good to hear when teachers can be really impactful, because they are, and teachers everywhere play a really important part in students' lives. They really just, they form, I guess, the leaders of tomorrow, which is a corny thing to say, but it's true. And I remember being in school, and my teacher said, like, on the first day of school, you know, like, "We all have to get to know each other and get along, because you're all spending more time here in this school than you are with your own family." Which is true. I mean, I spent, you know, 8 or 9 waking hours of my life in that school as opposed to the few hours I spent with my family. So teachers and other students, really, and school just plays a really big part of everyone's lives. Also, Cardi B continued that she actually, like, I guess Cardi B was considering becoming a history teacher. She has spoken at length before about her love of U.S. politics, and she was studying to become a history teacher, so good for her. She clearly knows what she's talking about, and whether you agree with her opinion or not, I mean, she seems to have passion for the topic and has, you know, spent a fair amount of time looking into it. Also, I would say, moral of the story is that you should just listen to your teachers. You should try and, I guess, be a good student, but, like, your teachers are people, and you never know when they're going to come back into your life, and you never know what they're going to observe about you when you're young, and, I mean, who knows? They could defend you on social media. So, good for Cardi B. Way to be outspoken, speak your mind, and it's true, she is using her platform for what she believes, and she's using her platform to advocate for those who may not be able to. I mean, and so many people follow Cardi B on social media, so yeah, she has a big following. And also, good for Ms. Joan Hill. Way to really stick up for your former student. Way to be a supportive teacher, even like to this day, even when this student isn't in your class anymore. I feel like that really embodies a lot of what teachers do. You know, like, a good teacher will stand up for you even when you're no longer in their class. You know, you just see a teacher out in the wild in the grocery store, and it's always nice when they say hi to you and, you know, remember you for the good or the bad, whatever it might be. But I don't know. I'm supportive of both these ladies in this situation. Way to go. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back and keep talking about some more social media news stories.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the Social Media News Podcast. We are continuing to talk about some social media news stories. We have just covered Cardi B and what's going on with her on the Twitter, along with her former teacher, Ms. Joan Hill, defending Cardi B on Facebook. We are moving on to another star. This is someone who doesn't appear in our social media news as often, but someone who is very beloved and honestly has gone through so much. I can't even imagine. But she has come back into the news, not necessarily for something that's really good, thankfully a little better than some of the other situations that involve her that have come up. But this is about Ariana Grande. And just, again, as I said, she has had some rough life tragedies. I mean, Mac Miller passing away, and then the very public engagement and then breakup with Pete Davidson, and he continues to make jokes about her. And now she's back in the limelight related to a tattoo. She has multiple tattoos. She has, you know, it's been spoken about before in public. So this one, this is not looking too good for Ms. Ariana Grande. So Ariana Grande does have a tradition of getting new tattoos, kind of like, as I said, she has other ones, and she gets them like to mark major life events, etc. And so she has gotten a new hand tattoo. It's written in Japanese kanji characters, and it is to celebrate her new single, Seven Rings. So when you're getting a tattoo, tattoos in other languages particularly, that can be a little difficult. I mean, it's difficult when you're getting a tattoo just in your own language, like you really don't want the tattoo artist to mess up, but particularly in a different language that you don't speak, I feel like that's very risky. And you hear a lot of horror stories, people, you know, get different like stuff tattooed on them, and then someone who actually speaks the language sees it later and is like, yeah, that does not say what you think it says. Unfortunately, that's kind of what happened to Ariana Grande in this situation, because she got the tattoo again to say Seven Rings in kanji, but it ended up reading Small Barbecue Grill, which is definitely not Seven Rings. There was, in a photo, this was posted to her Japanese Twitter account. I did not know she had a Japanese Twitter account, but I guess when you're that famous, you have different Twitter accounts in different languages. I guess that makes sense. But she posted this to her Japanese Twitter account. It has since been deleted from her Instagram. But it's a picture of her palm tattoo. And the website Kotaku, which is a news and opinion site about games, saw this picture. And then they were the ones that pointed out that apparently it reads Shichirin, or small charcoal grill. And according to this website, the tattoo symbols technically mean seven and ring. But when you put the two characters together, they take on a different meaning, which the different meaning being small charcoal grill, not seven rings. And I guess that's just written, you know, differently in Japanese. I guess the words seven rings, if you're trying to read it in the kanji, it's a lot longer, because if you see the picture of Ariana Grande's tattoo, it looks like it's just two characters. But if she were to actually have it say seven rings, it's like it's much longer string of characters. So, I mean, they pointed out that technically those two characters mean seven rings, but when they're put together, they don't, which I feel like if, you know, you're English speaking, this is kind of weird to wrap your head around. It's like a little strange for me to think about that the two words could be seven rings, but then you combine them and they, like, the two characters combined don't mean that. But anyway, the string of characters for seven rings, or nanasu no yubiwa, that string of characters does actually appear in Ariana Grande's music video for the song Seven Rings, but that's not what was tattooed on her hand. Ariana has said that she's okay with the misspelling of her tattoo. At least when I read this story, she was okay. I know people have still been talking about it and still kind of dragging her down for it. But in a now deleted tweet, she wrote that she left out the characters that should have gone in between the symbols, again, to make it say seven rings. She left them out, and to quote, it hurt like fudge, but she did not say fudge. She said a different F word, kind of like the word duck, but different. And then she said that she wouldn't have lasted another symbol, LMAO. And she continues, the spot also peels a ton and won't last. So if I miss it enough, I'll suffer through the whole thing next time. So she's saying that the spot in her tattoo, that will not be permanent forever, because there are certain parts in your body where tattoos will not stay forever. Kind of like if you get a tattoo on the inside of your lip, it won't stay forever. It'll eventually peel. So she's saying that it hurt a bunch, and that's why she didn't get all the characters to properly say seven rings. But apparently, if she really wants it, she'll go back and get it and just suffer through the pain. So good for you. I will not be suffering through the pain of getting a hand tattoo or a foot tattoo. That sounds terrible. I guess she also jokes that she is a fan of tiny barbecue grills. So that's good that you also like small grills. I support that, Ariana. You know, I just feel like whatever Ariana wants to do, she can do. If she wants to get a tattoo that says small barbecue grill, I support that. If you want to get a tattoo that says big barbecue grill, that's fine too. You know, I don't know what you're trying to make up for, but if you want to do it, sure, sure, I won't question. Maybe it'll just behind your back. But if she wants to get one and fix it and have it say seven rings, then go for it. I think it's kind of funny that she has a tattoo that just says small barbecue grill. I don't know. Maybe I'm not volunteering myself, but a fan out there should just get the words small barbecue grill tattooed on their body in English, just, you know, for support. Or we could just get, you know, the other tattoos that are the Japanese kanji, like exactly what she got in support. I'm not sure. I'm just saying, if you're a real fan, maybe you should consider. I'm not a real fan. I'm not going to do it. But, you know, I'm just putting it out there, out into the ether, if anyone wants to take up the idea. Give me credit. So I don't know. Go Ariana. I support you. Okay. At the beginning of this episode, I talked about how we were going to be discussing some of the Super Bowl related content on social media. And I want to keep to that promise. This is really, this is really funny to me. If you watch the Super Bowl, and a lot of people watch Super Bowl, not necessarily for the football, but for the ads. And I am definitely one of those people. I enjoy the halftime show and the ads. And this most recent Super Bowl, it was no different. I wanted to watch the ads. So Bud Light put on a bunch of ads during this year's Super Bowl. and they were not very positive towards corn syrup. And after making these ads that were basically saying they don't use corn syrup in their beer, Corn Twitter just got really upset and just went after Bud Light. So, I don't know. That's a funny statement, but it's true. It happened. And yeah, Bud Light really strangely, I'm surprised they chose corn syrup to go after for their ads. They also teamed up with Game of Thrones, which was also weird, but I don't know. Super Bowl ads are always a little bizarre. So really, what happened is that Bud Light is now embroiled in a bizarre fight with the corn industry. Because, again, they added Bud Light put on multiple ads, and they were saying, like, they're, like, just dissing Miller Light and Coors Light because those beer companies brew with corn syrup. And then the National Corn Growers Association wasn't happy about this. They put up on Twitter, and they said, "America's corn farmers are disappointed in you," speaking to Bud Light. "Our office is right down the road. We would love to discuss with you the benefits of corn. Thanks, Miller Lite and Coors Light, for supporting our industry." And, yeah, the ads were, like, strangely medieval-themed, and it would be, like, someone comes up to the castle that is supposed to represent Bud Light, and then they say, "Oh, we have this delivery of corn syrup," and then the castle king is like, "Oh, no, that's not ours. We don't brew with corn syrup. Take it to Miller Lite." And then they go on this journey to take it to Miller Lite, etc. Yeah, corn growers were not happy. Also, so when I say the corn, like, corn is not happy with Miller Lite or with Bud Light, I don't mean the actual, like, field, like, ears of corn. I mean the corn industry. It's not like ears of corn are getting on Twitter to tweet about this. I mean, in case you didn't realize. Anyway, the association said that the American corn farmers were disappointed in Bud Light. I'm not sure if they've done a poll or something, but they would apparently love to discuss it. And Iowa corn, which again is not the fields of ears of, you know, Iowa corn, but the Iowa Corn Association, they also voiced their discontent with the ads. They put out a really lengthy statement. They basically were saying they were disappointed that Bud Light chose to do this to them, and they said that they want to be left out of the beer wars. So there are some people on Twitter who are pro-corn, and they really took the ads kind of personally. And I'm going to read some of those tweets that people put out. I know that you're all on the edge of your seats to find out what America had to say. But before we do, we're going to take a quick break. So we'll be right back to talk about some more social media news and the corn people on Twitter.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Social Media News Podcast. We are continuing to talk about some social media news stories. Specifically, before the break, we mentioned Bud Light and really the war that they're getting into with the corn industries over the ads that they put out during the Super Bowl, which were very negative against corn syrup, saying that Bud Light does not use corn syrup in their beer. But as I said, people on Twitter got upset about this, people who really apparently are very pro-corn. One user said, "Thanks, Bud Light, for alienating about 90% of your agricultural customers who formerly bought Bud Light. I'll be buying all Coors Light and Miller Light from now on. #WeGrowCorn." Oh, boy. Another person said, for the record, the fact that Bud Light isn't made with corn isn't an issue. Most of us already knew that. It's the fact that Bud Light and now MillerCoors advertised it in a way that insinuates that corn is bad when in fact it isn't. Hashtag beer wars, hashtag ag truth. Another person said, Bud Light, please tell me how corn syrup is bad. You're just trying to kiss millennials' asses with stupid crap like that. You just pissed off a bunch of ag boys and girls. This is where you made a huge mistake, and that BS commercial. Man, people are upset. I don't know. And I guess they're saying, like, to just, like, kiss up to, like, millennials, I think is what they're trying to say. One person who is an Iowan, so clearly close to corn, was so offended by the ad that she poured corn syrup into her Bud Light, like, just corn syrup from the bottle, just dumped it into her beer and then drank it. She posted the video on Twitter. It was something, I think her comment was something like, oh, I knew something was missing. Just poured a bunch of corn syrup in it and drank it. Not that I'm really saying I enjoy Bud Light or Miller Light or Coors Light. I don't love any of them all that much. I mean, it's drinkable beer, so the Super Bowl is the time when you just want to be able to drink a bunch of beer for the whole game. But people are upset. People are upset that they're insulting, the Bud Light is insulting all these other light beers and just, you know, trying to drag down the corn industry. So if you have to pick, I don't know if people have, like, really set in stone light beer favorites. I'm not sure, but I guess people are going to abandon Bud Light and go for Miller Lite and Coors Light because they hated the ads. Miller Lite, they went on Twitter. They said, hey, Bud Light, thanks for including us in our first Super Bowl ad in over 20 years. You forgot two things, though. We have more taste in half the cars. Hashtag it's Miller time. Oh, man, Twitter. I enjoy reading stories like this. I mean, honestly, with all of the Twitter feud going on, I feel like it's just a matter of time before corn lobby resorts to just posting, like, more passive aggressive Instagram stories or just really angry Facebook stories. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe that next Super Bowl, there'll be like Miller Lite and Coors Lite commercials that trash Bud Light. I'm not sure. That would be interesting. But I'm curious. I wonder if they're going to, like, make up over social media and, like, apologize for the ads. I wonder what Bud Light's gonna do. I can only imagine that after the Super Bowl, they were just like, their social media team was crazed and they were just running around, not sure how to deal with the hate. But I mean, they should know, social media haters are out there and they're gonna hate. So I wish Bud Light the best. And I really enjoyed the corn related content, which I never thought I would say about something. I never thought that I would enjoy a fight about corn syrup as much as I do. But watching the ads also reminded me of, there used to be ads that were very aggressively against corn syrup. Like, it'd be like two moms at a party and one of them would be offering the other punch. And, you know, they'd be like, oh, I can't believe you're feeding our kids that. It's full of corn syrup. And I don't know. Oh, I guess they weren't against corn syrup. I guess they were for corn syrup, because the one mom who would make a complaint about that and the mom who was serving the corn syrup filled punch would be like, oh, well, corn syrup is just made from corn, like how cane sugar is just made from sugar cane. So I don't know. I've also never heard a super strong argument against corn syrup, like why it's worse than just cane sugar, because they do both come from plants. So I don't know. I mean, all I know is that, like, corn syrup comes in a syrup form. I don't really see it in, like, granulated sugar. But if you're buying sugar from a grocery store, just, like, plain white sugar, sometimes, like, some brands will say, like, 100% cane sugar, where they just come from the plant. But then other brands will mix with other types of sugar. Like, they might use, like, beet sugar or just some other plant that will also produce sugar granules. I guess maybe corn. I'm not sure if corn produces sugar in that way or if it only can produce syrup like sugar, but there are other plants that can make sugar, like coconut sugar, things like that. I'm not sure, but corn syrup, I mean, whatever, I don't have a beef with you. Don't come after me. If you want to put corn syrup in your beer, that's fine. I'm probably not going to drink it anyway, to be honest. I'm not a big Miller Lite, Coors Light fan. I also live kind of near a Budweiser factory, so if that's just easier to get that beer, then sure, okay. They had a really nice factory tour. But anyway, I hope that you all enjoyed these many social media news stories. And that brings us to the end of the episode. So please tune in to our next social media news podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.